Our Father, we rejoice once again to have an opportunity to share concerning those things that are important to us in a spiritual way, things that are essential for our understanding so that we would be able to confess that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. As we share tonight, our Father, we'd pray that you'd impress upon us the reality of the opposition that we face, the opposition that your word is facing in the earth, how well organized it is and how diligent and how committed it is to the eradication of every evidence to biblical-based Christianity. And we pray, Father, that in the accumulation of this knowledge and this information, that you'll also witness into our heart what you'd have us do with it and about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want for us to start tonight, and I'm going to ask you to define this term for me. Someone define the word religion. Pardon? A lifestyle. Okay. The religion is not actually the lifestyle, but religion does dictate, doesn't it? The lifestyle, right? Okay. It is a set of rituals or man's methods of worshiping. Alice? All right. It is a philosophy. It's a philosophy that dictates the type of lifestyle that you have, a way of life. Someone else? A belief, okay. A religion has doctrine. It's not the doctrine itself, but it has doctrine. Okay. Anybody else? Pardon? Sometimes she says it's man-made. Sometimes it is. Okay. Anybody else? Want to tell me what religion is? What do you suppose the average man on the street would say if you describe to him, or if you ask him the same question, what is religion? What's a good definition of religion? What do you think most people would say? Going to church, all right? Right? All right. Don't you think that most people on the street would say, a religion is the way that you believe and feel about God? Don't you think most people, when you say religion, what's the first thing they think about? God, isn't it? I mean, don't they have that kind of a, don't they relate to that? If you begin to talk about Jesus, what do they call you? Religious. Why do they say, you see, they don't say down there at James's work, they don't say James is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. They say he's real religious. Isn't that the term? Isn't that the term the world uses? Religion to the world generally means God. In other words, you have an association there between the word religion and the idea or the concept of God. And I think most folks, if you were to ask them about, I think if you were to ask most church people about religion, they would include God in their religion. And I think that is the general mentality. The humanists have used this confusion very much to their advantage. And we have really a double standard in our country today and in most countries of the world, which we're going to look at here this evening. Last week, we saw that humanism was not scientific at all, even though they call it scientific humanism, many of them. We found that the five basic tenets of humanism, somebody give me the five basic tenets. What's the first one? Atheism, a non-belief in God or a belief that there is no God. What was the second one? Alice? Okay, amoral, that was the third one. What was the second one? Evolution was the second one, a belief that things just happen, that nature is the most important thing, nature and matter, and we evolved kind of. And as Alice says, the third point is amorality, amoral. If you want to remember this word, what does amoral mean? Just remember the letter A in front of the word moral, A standing for absence of. The word amoral means absence of morals, that there is no morality or immorality. There's just nothing. There's no standard, in other words. Amoral means the absence of morality. And what's the fourth one then, the fourth tenet? An autonomous, self-centered person, that man is his own God, and that that all things exist for man's benefit, and that his own self realization is the highest and best objective of life. And what was the fifth one? No, that was the second one. Socialism. You had the right idea, but you had the wrong word, didn't you, Bob? Socialism. The idea that we need to have a one-world civilization and one-world order. And we saw last week as we examined all of those basic tenets, those five, that not one of them was based on scientific fact. There was not one of them which is provable. And we concluded at the end of our study last week is that since humanism is not scientific, then it must be what? Religious. If it's not scientific, if it's not based upon science, then it's got to be based upon faith. If it's not based upon provable fact, then it has to be based on something which is believed. That makes it religion. And tonight, we're going to examine how and why we know that humanism is a religion. Now, someone will say, why do you care whether humanism is a religion or not? I care because when they teach religion in the public schools and don't recognize it as religion, and they will not allow the true religion to be taught, but teach their own false religion, but will not identify it as religion, that's a fraud. And until we realize that humanism is a religion, and until we get our elected public officials to recognize that, until we get teachers and school board members and superintendents and principals and county commissioners and state representatives and governors and bureaucrats to recognize that humanism is a religion. In other words, they cannot have their cake and eat it too. This is what they're doing. They have done it extremely successfully. They say you cannot teach religion in the public schools because it's a violation of the First Amendment. We're going to find out when we study the First Amendment that is not a violation of the First Amendment, but at least that's the hoax that they have perpetrated on our country. And most Christians believe that. And we're going to kick that sacred cow in the udder when we get to it, when we discuss the First Amendment. But they will not allow true religion taught. They will not allow the Christian religion taught, but they foster their own religion. And they get that done by covering up the fact that it's a religion. One of the reasons for this book is to prove conclusively that humanism is a religion. Now, I believe it's important for Christians to know this so that when we talk with our legislators, when we talk with our governor, when we talk with our judges, when we talk with our local and community officials, I believe that we ought to talk beyond something that is purely emotional. I think we ought to have some facts. And I can tell you that I am much better prepared today than I was 6 weeks ago, even though I'd read the book, but I hadn't really done a study of it as I've been doing the last few weeks. I'm much better prepared to sit down with someone who wanted to have a reasonable discussion on the evils of humanism in our public schools and in our classrooms. In other words, I could give some basic facts, and I could lay it out in a way that a right-thinking man, a rational-thinking man, would be able to understand. Do you think you could? Better than before? Well, thank you. Thank you. I looked up the word religion in the dictionary, and this is what Webster said. Webster's dictionary over here. Religion, the first definition he gave was belief in God, capital G, or gods to be worshipped, usually expressed in conduct and ritual. That's some of the same kind of definition we had before. But the second definition is the one that really struck me. Any specific system of belief, worship, etc., often involving a code of ethics. Religion, you see, does not necessarily involve God. You can have a religion without having God. See, that's important. The general public doesn't understand that. The general public has a definition of the word religion that is not true. You can have a religion on any specific system of beliefs. The Random House Dictionary called religion a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. Would humanism fit that definition? A set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. The second definition given was a specific and institutionalized set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects. You and I could sit down here, well, let's take the three of us since we're all nice and together here, and we could sit down here and we could work us up a doctrine, see, a specific set of institutionalized, a system of beliefs. We could write it all down and say, this is what we believe, and we're going to call this the Rockruthart faith. This is the Rockruthart religion. And if we could get a few people to agree to it, and we could get some adherents who would agree to that, do you know that we could get tax exemption in the United States and be declared a religion? Did you know that? See, religion doesn't necessarily have to believe in God. Any group of crackpots can come together and form a religion. What you have is a group of crackpots under the guise, under don't anybody get any ideas. You know, we already have the right true religion. We don't need any more. But, a group of people under satanic inspiration and satanic influence over a long, long period of time has codified what has now become known as the religion of humanism. One of, taking a quotation from a book, a man by the name of James Uphoff, just recently, matter of fact, 5 years ago, made this statement. He envisions religion as any faith, or set of values to which an individual or group gives ultimate loyalty, which is in line with what Donna was saying, a lifestyle. Any group of values to which a group, an individual or group, gives ultimate loyalty. I was impressed. How many of you read the chapter this week? Thank you, brother. God bless you. I'm so thrilled to have you in the class, brother. At least I know where we're going tonight. Our author tells us about the Supreme Court in some cases that it heard and some of its findings. In one particular case, Justice Black made this statement. Listen to this now. This is the United States Supreme Court. This is the highest court in a Christian land, in a country which is under God, one nation, and in a country which in God we trust. And this is the highest court of law in the land. And Justice Black wrote, among the religions in this country which do not teach what could generally be considered a belief in the existence of God are blank, 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 and he included humanism in that, calling humanism a religion. Among the religions in this country that do not believe in the existence of God. In another case, in a 1965 case, this was the quotation that was rendered, that all sincere beliefs, this is what religion is, all sincere beliefs based upon a power or being or upon a faith to which all else is subordinate or upon which all else is ultimately dependent. And Thomas Jefferson said, religion includes all believers or unbelievers of the Bible. All believers or unbelievers of the Bible. That's Thomas Jefferson. Then the conclusion, these are my conclusions now. Religion, then. What is religion? Religion has a faith in something or someone to which is given ultimate loyalty. Now, for a Christian, in the Christian faith, who is that someone? It's the Lord. In humanism, in the religion of humanism, who is that someone or something? Man. The humanist has faith in man. Christian has faith in God. Religion has a set of values or a system of beliefs. For the Christian, what is that? That's the Bible. Does humanism have such a thing? It has the manifestos, doesn't it? Humanist manifestos 1 and 2, a codified system of beliefs. Religion has someone or something to which everything else is subordinate. In other words, in a religion, you have someone or something that is Lord. Everything else is subordinate to it. For a Christian, who is that? It's Jesus. For a humanist, who's that? Self. Yeah, not just any man. Me. Me. The autonomous, self-centered man. And then, these are some things that as I was reading through the chapter and thinking about it, a couple of things came to me. Normally, with a religion, you have places of worship, don't you? You have a place of worship or a place where you observe the ritual or your religious conduct. Where do we do that as Christians? In our churches. Where do the humanists do it? They do it in the schools and the universities and the colleges. Those are their churches. Now, you perhaps have never thought of that concept before, but you think about what we have been learning. Where do they worship? In their places of learning, isn't it? For a religion, usually you have priests, high priests, teachers, proclaimers, etc. For the Christian church, who are they? Pastors, teachers, apostles, and so on. Okay, prophets, all of those. How about for humanism? Professors, school teachers, administrators, and so on. Now, that's an instrument that's used. But primarily in our schools is where we find the media as a result of what we're teaching in the schools. Just a reflection of that. How many of you have been following in the television and on the... I'm so sorry, I laid something out and I forgot to bring it tonight. How many of you have been following the 007 incident, the Korean airliner that was shot down over the Sea of Japan? Everybody's following. That's why you didn't read your chapter this week, huh? You'd have done better to read the chapter, see? That would have done you more good. I don't know if you have noticed this or not, but how much of the media is pro-Russia? How much of it is pro, well, let's not be too hard on these guys. Now, they just slaughtered 269 innocent people, but let's not be too hard on them. There's probably a good reason why they did that. How many people in our own country, in our own media, are quick to throw the blame on the United States? In the newspaper two nights ago, the headline, I wanted to bring this to you, the headline was, U.S. admits spy plane in area. U.S. admits. But U.S. admits. Now, what kind of spirit does, what does that denote? You see, we lied, we deceived, and the Russians had a right to do that, and so on. If you don't read any further, and most people, they see the headline, that's all they see. Now, that's media. That's the media. Last night, I got home late, we had a board meeting late last night. And when I got home, the Nightline program was on, and I watched some of the Nightline show, and they had a professor on there from Harvard University, Harvard University, in the Boston area, and he was well-known and widely reputed, and he was head of the Crisis Negotiation Project at Harvard. And you can just begin to imagine the kind of mindset this man would have. And as he began to talk, you could just feel the humanism crawling out of the television set. It was incredible. And thank God for Ted Koppel, who will sharpen things up a little for you. And he began to quiz him rather directly, but the man never did back off. But he did reveal that next week he had a group of Soviet lawyers coming in to Harvard, at which they were going to have a tete-a-tete. And they were, in other words, he's got friends, you see, and relationships there. And these are people that he is dealing with, and they're trying to work out some things, you know, in the area of international law. Now, he doesn't, I can't really say that. He cares more about his relationships with these Soviet attorneys, and he cares more about world relations than he does 269 people who were killed. Now, I wonder what he would think if it was his own wife, or his own son, or his own mother who was shot down. But these people with this kind of mindset, they are so committed to their beliefs that they will sacrifice anybody, whole nations. They'll sacrifice this entire nation to have this concept realized. And they are blind, just absolutely and totally blind. Now, here's a man who is a leading professor in one of our leading colleges, and I shared with you 3 or 4 weeks ago from a tract that was circulated about the time that Harvard was founded, and that in order to enter Harvard, you had to be a professing Christian. You had to go to Bible time, you know, every morning and every night, and you had it during the day. And you remember those things I shared with you? That's only 200 years ago, beloved. And here's a man who is key in that thing there, and it's filled with humanism. He would be, I would call him, among the priests, the teachers, and the proclaimers of the worship of this God-man. Now, I hope that as we're studying this, that you're doing the same thing I am, and that is becoming more discerning and more discriminating as you read your newspaper and as you listen to your television set, as you hear the radio news, that you begin to not just take everything as it comes across the tube at you, but that you begin to see what is the motivation of the people. What is their slant? What kind of thing is inside them that is motivating them? Someone want to comment on any of that? Joan?
They're not smarter than you are. That's one thing the devil tries to tell Christians. Well, they have a doctorate and they're smart. They just know how to scramble your brain better than you.
They use words more skillfully.
Yeah.
Let's turn to Psalm 119. I saw your hand, Dawn. I guess just a moment. Psalm 119 and verse number 99 and 100. Now, this is a confession of faith for a Christian. Would you want to read it with me aloud? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. There is profit, you see, in knowing the Word of God and in keeping the Word of God. The Scripture says that someone who will do that will know more than his teachers, not more facts necessarily, but will have more understanding. You know the difference. Have more wisdom. And let me just add this one point. For you as an individual believer and also for your children, the most important thing for you is not to know all of the facts of everything that's going on in the world. The most important thing for you is to cultivate a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Because you see, many times the Spirit of the Lord will tell me things that I can't explain. I can't tell you why a thing is a certain way. I just know that this is right and this isn't. Aren't you that way? you meet a person and you know something is just not right there. You don't know what it is. Sometimes you feel bad about yourself. You begin to condemn yourself because you can't explain why that. But you know that something's not right with that person. You pick up a book and you read it. You go in a classroom, the teacher starts talking. You're downstairs in the auditorium and somebody's preaching from the pulpit, or you're watching television, listening to a radio, and you hear something coming across. We need to inculcate this kind of sensitivity in our children so that when they are sitting in the classroom, that they'll sense that and they'll come home and say, "Dad, I don't know. Teacher was saying something today. I don't know why, but I just can't receive that. It just doesn't witness in my spirit. It just won't settle there." And give Dad an opportunity to deal with it, you see, around the kitchen table or however. The most important thing is not that we have all information. The single most important thing in our life is that we walk so close to the Lord that when His heart beats, we feel it go poop. And when He breathes, our chest goes. That we're so sensitive to Him. We don't have to be able to explain those things. Just to know, that's how you protect yourself. Have you ever felt, without any warning at all of a sudden you just kind of felt in danger? And you turn around and somebody is behind you? I mean, there's no reason for you didn't hear anything, you didn't see anything, but all of a sudden something just quickened. And you turn around and there's somebody behind you. Or something happened, you know, you drive along in your car and you sense danger and you get cautious and all of a sudden here comes a car that would have hit you if you hadn't done some action. You know what I'm talking about. That is the most important thing in living as far as I'm concerned. And then let the Spirit move you. Don, did you still remember your comment? Oh.
And it was for them, the Russians, we were accusing them.
Oh, yes. We'll find every reason to exonerate them and every reason to give them the benefit of the doubt.
And the people will re-elect this kind of person and put him back in there.
Yes.
If we let him just fly.
Yeah, if we don't do something about it. I think... you know, there's great speculation about whether they knew that Congressman McDonald was on the plane and so on and so forth. And I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. We probably never will know whether they knew that. Personally, my suspicion is that they didn't have the foggiest idea. But I'll tell you, somebody who did know, the devil knew. And I don't know anything about Larry McDonald's personal testimony. I know he was a member in good standing at an independent Methodist church. And I understand he was going to appear on the PTL Club and do some sharing in upcoming weeks and so on. That doesn't necessarily mean he was a... Yeah. So I don't know his personal testimony. I did meet him years ago before I was a Christian, and I don't know where he was at that time. He was very active and involved in the John Birch business. And we were to his home to a meeting to see what was going on about 15 years ago or so. And the one thing that I do know is the devil knew he was on that plane, and there is nobody else in the United States Congress that was any more vocal or any more courageous in standing against what the humanists want. And if I was the devil and I wanted to finger somebody, I'd sure finger him. And so what very few people realize is that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare to the death. The devil is nobody's fool, and for us to consider him a fool is foolish on our part. I mean, it's foolhardy. That doesn't mean we have to be in fear or afraid or anything like that. But there's a war going on, and the war is not between Russian fighters and 747 planes. I mean, the war is not between Washington and Moscow. The war is going on between heaven and hell. Donna?
Reagan. dismissed and not appointed to the next staff. I didn't know what had actually happened, but I just had such a spirit of prayer come over me for our president. And I just felt such, I just had to go somewhere and pray in the spirit. But my grandmother sat there, and she loved the Lord, but she sat there and just kept raving him, just cutting him, cutting him. And it just made me realize how this humanism, that's all I could think about, was that had just infiltrated even the people of God that loved him.
Yes. Faith is, we know that faith is acting on what you believe, but we also know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and we know that the true faith comes by hearing the true word, but the wrong kind of faith comes by hearing the wrong word, and that faith is equally strong. Let me give you a simple example. The devil throws a symptom in your body. You have faith that you're sick. You believe you are. You can go to the doctor and the doctor tells you there's nothing wrong with you, but you're sick. That faith, you see, is that strong. What we are looking at is a religion that has a very strong faith in its adherents. It's based on the wrong word, but it is based on what people are taught. And that's what's so heinous about this, is that they are teaching our children a religion we don't believe in. And our children are growing up believing humanistic ideas, and we don't know why. But you see, their faith is in what they've heard. And it shouldn't surprise us that they're like that. I tell you, God be praised for any child, that can come out of the government school system, the best ones. And I think these locally are probably among the better ones, not academically necessarily, but in terms of the spiritual oppression, we're in better shape here in Douglasville probably than we are in very many other places in the United States. I mean, the creeping crud, if I can call it that, of humanism is not nearly as solidly entrenched in our system. But it's still bad. Bruce. It's okay to learn it.
And we're not saying work, but by us putting them there in the public school, we're saying it's okay.
We're condoning it. That's right.
That's true.
Turn in your book to page 133. If you have your book with you this morning, this evening. See, the most important thing is not to know whether it's morning or evening. The most important thing is to be sensitive enough to the Spirit of the Lord to know when it's time to go to bed. Notice how slippery he is, folks. Page 133. Look at the chart there. I want to interpret this chart for you. The top portion of the chart is the way humanists have portrayed themselves and other religious people. And they have divided all philosophies into those philosophies that are religious and those that are non-religious. And so they have categorized under religions, Judaism, Christianity, Confucianism, Buddhism, Mohammedism, or Islam, Mohammedism, Babylonian mysticism, and other kinds of religions. And they've got humanism over here on the philosophy side. Now, that's the way most people would think, because that's the way they've been taught to think. They have been taught to think that humanism is not a religion. We have seen that it is. And a more correct portrayal would be to put all of these... You see, humanism is a way of life. It is a lifestyle dictating philosophy. And in that case, it is a religion. And so we got to stick it in the religion side somewhere. It is not just an innocuous philosophy. It is not just an academic discipline. It is a religion that people are living for and committed to and dying for. And therefore, you've got to put it on the religion side, and you see the way our brother has done so. He has separated religions into those which are biblical and those which are pagan or heathen. And he's put humanism in with Confucianism, Buddhism, and so on. And I believe it's an accurate portrayal. I think it was wise what he's done there. Bruce?
Didn't the dictionary say that humanism is religion?
Let's see. Why don't you look up humanism in that Webster's dictionary right there, Steve? That green, that's it right there. Just look up humanism while we're talking here. One of the things that strikes me is that, and I said earlier that we have a double standard in our country. It seems that humanism is a religion when it comes to getting tax exemptions, and when it comes to hands-off policy, leave us alone, don't try to control us because we're a religion, and under the First Amendment, we have freedom of religion, but then they turn around and say humanism is not a religion when it's taught in our schools, or when it's enacted in our laws, or anytime it's involved in a First Amendment question. And so it's like a chameleon, humanism. It can be any color depending on the situation. If it is profitable for them to be called a religion, then they will acknowledge that they are a religion. But if it is unprofitable for them to be likened to religion, because it binds them in some way or costs them in some way, then they will vehemently deny that it's religious, and they will declare that it is scientific. That's why when you see the terms secular humanism, religious humanism, scientific humanism, it's all the same. But you see, it's religious humanism when it is profitable for them to be religious. But it is scientific humanism when it's in the public schools. You understand what's going on there? And this is this is precisely what we are dealing with when you deal with the Russians. Do the Russians tell the truth? How many in here would want to say that they've ever told the truth? Not too many. They're like their father, the devil, aren't they, brother? And what we are saying, they will say whatever the situation dictates that is in their best interest. Now, how about the United States, generally? Are we a truthful country? Yeah, we're not as we were, as we once were. But someone brought up last night when the U-2 plane went over Russia and it was shot down. In 1952, some of you aren't old enough to remember that. Gary, what was his name? Gary Powers. And we violated their airspace. I'm not old enough to remember that either. So. You really did. You stepped right into that one, brother. But as the U-2 plane went over and it was shot down, and it was immediately our president acknowledged that it was a spy plane and we had overflown their space, and down our plane went. And they know we'll do it. Yes. Yes. Who would you rather make an agreement with, the United States of America or the USSR? Bob? Yes.
2 minutes later, the Russian ambassador is putting out the statement that said the plane never had
no lights, no navigational lights. Yes.
And sitting out there and hearing his own pilots.
Yes. Yes. Now, what we are seeing, this is what I want you to see. I don't want us to solve the 007 mystery tonight. But it is a very excellent example for us. This is the kind of mentality that we are dealing with in our schools and in some of our own government officials and in our media to a great extent. And I know that it's wrong, and I say this every once in a while kind of as a disclaimer. I know that it's wrong to paint everybody with the same brush, because we have some dedicated and committed journalists and some dedicated and some committed government officials and some dedicated and committed educators. But they are in the extreme minority, and they are generally known as freaks. And it is not likely that very many of them will rise, to positions of influence and control and so on in the nation. And it's when we look at the Russians and how they handled this civilian airliner event, what we are looking at is the fruit of humanism. We are looking at the children of humanism. We're looking at the offspring of humanism. This is why your child can look you in the face and lie to you. You ever had that done? I have had it done. Not often, thank God. But I've had it done, and it's a horrible thing. Where do they get that? Some of it they get from us, you know. And, well, officer, I was going to the hospital to see my wife or whatever, you know. That's why I was going 82 miles an hour. And the child's sitting there watching the speedometer, you see. Jennifer? Yes. It doesn't matter to them if you have the evidence. It's like looking at the cat and the canary feathers are still in the mouth. What canary? What you talking about canary? I haven't seen any canary. And kids, that's the most horrible result of this, or one of the most horrible, certainly, is a child at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20, who can look you right in the face and tell you a bold-faced lie and never flinch. It's the result of this kind of spirit. Bonnie? Yes. Yes. What's this plane? Yes. Yeah. Exactly the same. It's the same spirit that's operating, and that's what we're saying. It's the if you take it out to the end, that's what you have. And why we don't see that, I don't know. All we're seeing over here in the Sea of Japan is we're seeing Hitler in Poland. And if you know anything about history, Neville Chamberlain went down to Munich. I think it was in Munich. In the late 30s, to talk to Hitler, and he came back and he told England, he said, there's nothing wrong with a man. He's just taking back some land, you know, that belonged to his ancestral people and so on. And the next thing you know, I mean, it wasn't weeks or just a few months, and the whole world is embroiled in war. Yes.
Because that's what, if we're going to send them to those schools, they need to. But at the same time, we know they're being taught wrong, and they come back home and we try to butter over, smooth out what rough edges have been put on. And that's where the double standards is coming. They don't know which is what's true.
And most of it we don't know yet either. Problem is, it's like taking a glass of milk and putting some arsenic in it and then trying to get the arsenic out. You can't get it all out because it blends with everything else that's in there. Barbara, we'll take your comment. The rush, yes. Yes. Yeah. And we need to know too, and I think all believers do recognize the difference here. Jesus Christ died for those Russians. I mean, his blood was spilled for those people. And there are people that are bound by that system, you know? And we hate the thing that causes this kind of activity and this kind of thinking, and we hate the philosophy. And we hate the one who is the source of it, and we found out that the source of this kind of wisdom is Satan himself, didn't we? And we despise him with a fierce hate, and I believe that's quite appropriate. Now let me move quickly here. I'm going to summarize this chapter now in the next 30 seconds.
This concludes side number one. Please turn over to side number two for a continuation of this teaching.
You didn't. You got the frickin' frack show. In chapter 7, I'm going to highlight it for you just briefly, but I would appreciate your reading it because I think you will get some insight as to how we draw the conclusion that humanism is a religion. Humanism is a religion we know based upon four separate and independent sources. First of all, the humanists themselves call it a religion. Their leading spokesmen out and out declare that things like this, private humanism will be the largest religious body of the future. Here's another one. Down through the ages, men have been seeking a universal religion or a way of life. Humanism shows promise of becoming a great world faith. Here's the third one. Julian Huxley predicts that the next great religion of the world will be some form of humanism. The Ethical Culture Society, which is a forerunner of the humanist movement, has federal tax exemption granted to it and to their various ethical societies. Secondly, the Humanist Bible, the Humanist Manifesto, calls it a religion. Clearly, they declare that humanism is a philosophical, religious, and moral point of view. They say that humanism is the establishment of a vital, fearless, and frank religion. And then they list 15 affirmative tenets of their religion, and they conclude it by saying, so stand the theses of religious humanism. If you read the manifestos, it's called religion, 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 religion. Thirdly, the third source that we have that validates or confirms that humanism is a religion is the United States Supreme Court. And I cited a couple of those instances earlier. And fourthly, Thomas Jefferson called not humanism, but he called unbelief a religion. You see, if you believe there is a God, that's a religion. We acknowledge that. But if you believe there is not a God, you have to believe that on faith, don't you? That makes that a religion. And there's our four sources. The humanists themselves, the humanist manifestos or their Bibles, the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in our land, and Thomas Jefferson, the writer of the Declaration of Independence. Those are four authentic sources from which I think we get sound information. And why our government and why our schools will not acknowledge humanism as a religion is beyond me. Then there are five facts that the author presents that demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that humanism is a religion. First of all, humanism has a religious theology, and we've been examining it the last few weeks. A disbelief in God, a belief in evolution, and the nature of man, and so on. It's a very carefully codified theology. Secondly, humanism must be accepted by faith. We saw that. Thirdly, humanism is rooted in religion. It has its roots in the ancient religions of China and Greece and Rome. And while we're on that subject, if I might take just 5 seconds here and let you know that Unitarians are not Christians. Unitarians do not believe that Jesus is God. See, they are not, the Unitarian is an opposite from a Trinitarian. A Trinitarian believes in one God, three persons. Jesus is God. The Unitarian believes in God, but he believes Jesus was a man. And the Unitarians, you see, split off from the traditional Trinitarian churches in about 150 years ago, and the Unitarians are very much involved in the humanist movement. The Unitarian churches are humanistic, almost to the man. Fourthly, humanism is a way of life. And fifthly, and this one really nails it for me, humanism inspires missionary zeal. Those people who are committed humanists are missionaries, like the one down here at West Georgia College that had a sign on the wall when our teacher came in to sign up for her courses, and here's a sign on the wall, if you want to know more about humanism, ask me. Now, that's the same thing as having a Jesus First card in your wallet. They are missionaries for this religion. They are proselyting converts. They're teaching it and preaching it, believing it and living it. It's a religion. Don't you make any mistake about it. And don't let anybody try to convince you otherwise. It dictates their way of life, their thoughts and their actions as well. It's not scientific. It is religious. And we are supporting with our tax monies, beloved, the teaching of a false religion in our schools. We are not just supporting schools that won't teach religion. We're supporting schools that are teaching religion. But it's the devil's religion that they're teaching. Father, teach us how to sense your spirit, how to sense the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So saturate us with your word that we will have more understanding and more wisdom than the ancients, than our teachers, and all of those who are in positions of influence in our society. That we may truly be salt and light. We don't hate these people. We don't despise these people. We love them. But we do despise the religion that they are teaching and preaching and trying to foist upon our society by another name. Show us, Lord, how to oppose that within the framework of your word. We ask in Jesus' name.